Thank you. 2 meters, the length of a car, the length of a sofa. That is how far apart we should all be from each other. Not, of course, from the people you live with in your family unit, provided they're well. But if we're to prevent deaths, we need to keep away from everyone else. Look at the photos of parks and beaches this weekend, and it's clear that's not always happening. Here's what the Prime Minister said about going out yesterday.
I want, of course I do, people to be able to go to the parks and open spaces and to enjoy themselves. It's crucial for health, for mental and physical well-being. But please follow the advice and don't think that fresh air in itself automatically provides some immunity.
The Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, said that people who ignored government advice are very selfish. On Today This Morning, he was asked by Nick Robinson if the police could be brought in to enforce social distancing amongst the public.
Do you accept that you may have to use the authorities to tell people what to do, not just to advise them what to do?
Yes, and in fact, on Saturday, I signed the order to give the police the power to be able to shut bars and restaurants and pubs if they're still open.
Emergency legislation that would grant powers aimed at tackling the pandemic will be debated by MPs later today. Well, Hammersmith and Fulham Council in West London last night closed its parks to the public. The council leader, Stephen Cowan, told us what he'd decided to do ahead of any similar action that the government might take.
Hammersmith and Fulham is the most densely populated borough in the country. So we took the decision to close the parks. And that's a very simple reason. People weren't following. Understandably, it's very hard for people to come to terms with the changes in their lives they're going to need to make with this contagion. But it is a very serious problem. And we took the view that every time they met each other and failed to follow the social distancing measures, they were passing on the contagion to different people. We'd asked our parks police to encourage social distancing, but you can imagine when they do that, they put themselves at risk. And it wasn't working fundamentally. And understandably, the public is still some way off coming to terms with this surreal situation and making the changes in their lives that they need to make.
Stephen Cowan from Hammersmith and Fulham Council. Well, look at the daily tally of deaths from the virus, and we are tracking where Italy was 2 weeks ago. If we're to stop being where Italy is now, are we doing enough? Well, there was a letter written to the Times on Saturday saying the UK is losing a very small window of opportunity to minimise the disease burden from COVID-19 and prevent a health system collapse. One of those who signed it is Professor Helen Ward, Professor of Public Health at Imperial College London, who joins us. Good afternoon, Professor Ward.
Good afternoon, Sarah.
So the simple question is, are we doing enough at the moment?
No, we're not. I really think that this is a public health emergency. And as we speak, the hospitals in London and some other areas are filling up. Health workers are getting sick and people are dying. And the key thing is, as you just referred to Italy, we need to halt transmission now to flatten the curve in 2 to 3 weeks' time. It will continue going up now because we've had transmission going on for the last few weeks. But we have to stop the pressure on the NHS. And the best way to do that is to have a national lockdown. And I know it's a frightening word, but we absolutely have to stop this non-essential travel, non-essential business and activities, and we have to enforce social distancing.
OK, so national lockdown means what? That goes further than just parks and playgrounds being closed.
I think we need to clear the streets, the buses and the trains of non-essential travel and activities. There are people who need to get to work, particularly health workers and other critical workers. They need to be able to use the tubes without being crammed in with no opportunity for that 2 metre distance. Other people do not need to be out there. They can stay at home. So the public transport should be for essential workers only. The rest of people can stay at home, only go outside for essential activities. I noticed Nicola Sturgeon's just announced shops, only shops that are selling food and essential things and pharmaceuticals can stay open. That's the kind of thing we need. I know it's tough, but if we don't see this emergency now, I think people still feel it's their personal decision whether they want to do it or not. And that's what we saw yesterday in the parks. People don't quite yet get it. Not enough people have taken that on board and say it's their responsibility not to protect themselves only, but to protect everybody else, and particularly protect our health workers in the NHS.
Are you suggesting that if we don't have this national lockdown that you refer to, we will be where Italy is now?
There's no evidence that we will not be. Everything points to the fact that if we don't have these stringent measures now, we will continue to see a steady growth in the number of cases. We can protect people who are vulnerable, which I know there are various things in place to protect people with particular conditions, and that is good, that's important, but we still need to stop it spreading in the general population, because there are young people, these health workers, young health workers who are getting sick and ending up on intensive care. We need to avoid that. So it's not just locking away the old and the vulnerable. So, we actually have to stop transmission amongst the wider population.
Okay, so there are those who are saying, look, the government's messaging is just not clear enough. You're saying it doesn't go far enough.
I'm saying both. I think that the message that says we have to have social distancing was not clearly enough said. And the thing is, you can get that message, people might hear it, but if there's no enforcement, it's left up to individual decisions, and that's what I'm saying. So we need a combination of a clear, strong message saying we need social distancing, no non-essential travel, which is actually the policy, but people are not doing it. Therefore, it has to be backed up by enforcement and structural measures, such as Steve Cowan said for Hammersmith and Fulham, taking a sensible decision to close the parks because it was impossible to enforce at that point. But hopefully, when more people pay attention, we may be able to open up public spaces for use in a responsible way.
With all these things,
need to get outside. People need to get outside.
Well, that's what I wanted to move on to, because with all these things, isn't it a balance of risks? It's a balance of risks that those who are, whether it's the mental health or for some other reason, that people need to get out to get some exercise, to get some air and not feel cooped up in a flat in a city, that the damage from that may be worse, or are you saying that there is no way it can be worse?
I know that there is damage from that, and I think we're very aware of that, but I think the urgency of the public health situation at the moment is that we can address that down the line a little bit. I do think people should be able to go outside, and I think many countries have come up with ways that you go out with people from your own household and you stay away from people who are not from your household. That would be a message, but alongside enforcement. It's this question that the government has not been willing to put in the enforcement until it's tested whether people will just do it anyway. The same with the bars and the restaurants. Lots of people did it. Most people want to do it and be responsible, but there is a minority of people who are ignoring or not going far enough. And that's okay. Where you need to have strong guidance from both the state and the government, but also from communities. And I think communities are willing to help here. If we have a very clear message, we can mobilise community leaders, organisations, all kinds of people to help get this message across and have enforcement by peer pressure, for example.
OK, Professor Helen Ward, thank you very much. Well, let's try now to get that clear message, that guidance, so that people do go far enough. The TV doctor, Zan van Tulleken, presented Coronavirus, How to Isolate Yourself for Channel 4. He is now doing exactly that, isolating at home. Thanks for joining us, Dr. van Tulleken.
Lovely to speak to you, and very interesting to hear Prof. Ward.
Well, now listen, just first of all, before we get to the whole social distancing, your advice on that, why are you self-isolating?
So I had symptoms, and anyone with symptoms has to self-isolate. So I had a temperature above 37.8. And if you don't have a thermometer, you don't need, I got a thermometer later. From a friend of mine who left it on my doorstep. So I know I had a temperature, but actually we know when we've got a fever, you'll feel achy and sweaty and hot and cold. Everyone knows that feeling. If you feel like that, or you have a new persistent cough, and it's very hard to define a new persistent cough, but if you start coughing now, you'll notice it. If you are in any doubt, stay at home. And I think the other important thing to say is very often this starts with tiredness and exhaustion and feeling a bit achy. If you're feeling exhausted, stay at home. I mean, we should all be staying, many of us should be trying to stay at home anyway. But if you are one of those people who's working, then those are your reasons to self-isolate.
Okay. Now, this 2 meter thing, I talk about the length of a car, the length of a sofa.
Yes.
How would you recommend that we think of this?
I would say, look, 2 meters is very useful. I think those things, a broomstick, a tall person lying down, any of those things. In the end, speaking to the people at the Department of Health and Social Care who are generating this advice, what is very clear is that there's a concern that in trying to stick to 2 meters, people go, well, you can't catch it if you're further away than 2 meters. Or if you're at 1 meter 99, you're going to catch it. And in fact, a better way to think about it is that everyone is potentially contaminated. And what we're trying to do is stop the spread of a bug. And so a lot of the stuff about this is not common sense, and there are fabulously complex mathematical models to tell us what to do. But in the case of not catching a bug from someone else, keeping your distance, washing your hands, not being in close proximity to them, and if they're symptomatic, isolating themselves and you staying away from them, those are basic things that anyone who's ever had a colleague with a cold will know, go like, oh no, I'm going to stay away from them and wash my hands and try and send them home. So these are the basic principles, and the guidance is there for a reason. Coughs do travel more than 2 meters, but the density is very of particles spraying out of your mouth is a hell of a lot less at the end of 2 meters. So 2 meters is also a thing that most of us can do. If you're in, okay. If you're in the park, even if you're in a room, you can keep 2 meters away, but further than that can be very difficult.
But from what we know, it is still aerosol-borne rather than
yes.
airborne, i.e. it's globules,
yes.
it's spit, it's something left on a surface rather than just standing breathing the same air.
Yes, it's, well, yes, but I think it's reasonable to treat people in quite an extreme way if you're concerned. So we don't have all the data on this, but every time you clear your throat, anyone who's been to the theatre and seen an actor projecting in the spotlight will see the mist of particles that comes out of people's mouths as they're projecting. If you've stood next to a loud colleague or a family member, they're spraying you constantly. Every time we talk, we do generate a small aerosol when we clear our throats. So possibly a gentle breath out contains very little virus, but still, if someone's in a room, they're coughing, they're talking for a long time, there will be an aerosol hanging in the air, and that's why self-isolation is so important.
Okay, well, we hope you stay as well as you sound, Dr. Zan van Tulleken. Thank you very much. Now, coming up, we've got the latest instalment of Andrew Bomford's